This is live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lindsay Clancy from the Hitting Tillers podcast in True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
If I may?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Good morning. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
PJ Hussey, Hussey.
And your date of birth?
5/5/1963.
Where do you work?
Duxbury Fire Department.
And how long have you been a firefighter?
32 years.
Are you also a paramedic?
Yes.
What's the difference between an EMT and a paramedic?
Paramedic has advanced life-saving skills, intubation, and medicine we can use on the patients.
And is there a certain type of training that you have to have as a paramedic?
Yes, every 2 years.
And to first qualify as a paramedic, what do you have to do?
There's a paramedic class that you take. Okay. Upwards of 2 years.
So you take that paramedic class. Is there a test you have to take at the end?
A state test, yeah.
And once you pass that state test and become a paramedic, you have to do continuing education. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And did you take that initial training, pass that initial test, and then pass all subsequent training to be a paramedic?
Yes.
And how long have you been a paramedic?
About 17 years.
What is your current role with the Duxbury Fire Department?
I'm a captain, which is considered a shift commander.
And in January of 2023, were you in that same role?
Yes.
What does a shift commander do?
Oversees the operations of the town as far as firefighting and medical services.
How many fire departments, or stations rather, how many stations does Duxbury Fire Department have?
Duxbury has two.
Okay. And how far apart are they?
About 10 minutes apart.
And are they staffed differently from
yes.
each other?
Yeah.
And how are they staffed?
At the central station, there's a captain and usually three. And the other station, there's two. Just two firefighters.
And for Duxbury, are all the firefighters that work for Duxbury Fire Department also paramedics?
Not all. We have two EMTs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sorry?
The rest are medics.
And when you say medics, you're talking about paramedics?
Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's okay. So directing your attention to January 24th, 2023, were you working that day?
Yes.
And what shift were you working?
My own shift, my group, shift one.
And what is shift one?
It's just we have four shifts, and I'm just group one, shift one.
Is there a certain time that spans, time of day?
Nope, 24-hour shift, 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock the next morning.
Okay, so you were working 8 o'clock in the morning on January 24th?
Yes.
And your shift would end 8 o'clock in the morning on January 25th?
Correct.
Okay. And were you working in that capacity as a shift commander on the 24th?
Yes.
Now, do you recall a call coming in shortly after 6 p.m. Dispatching you to 47 Summer Street in Duxbury?
Yes.
And did you respond to that scene?
We did.
And how many vehicles and personnel responded?
My car, the shift commander car, ambulance one, and engine number two.
And what was the personnel in each of those vehicles? Not names necessarily, but how many people?
Usually it's two in the ambulance, but because of the severity of the call when it first came in, we put three people in the ambulance, a driver plus two medics in the ambulance, and then two firefighter medics in the engine from the other station.
Okay, so that would be six people in total?
Six total, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you have anyone from the second station respond initially?
We all came at the same time. We all got dispatched at the same time.
So would that have been six people total from both stations or six people from the central station?
Six people total from both.
And when you arrived on scene, what did you see upon arrival?
There's a couple of police cruisers that were there already, just beat us in. And then we had to go up back to where the patient was located.
And when you refer to the patient that was out back, was that Lindsay Clancy?
Yes.
And did you head to the backyard?
Yes.
And did you see her on the ground?
I did.
And were you personally treating her, or was it the other paramedics that were doing
it? The other paramedics were treating her.
Okay. Yep. And what were you doing?
Just supervising the call, just make sure things are handled appropriately as a shift commander.
Showing you what's been marked as Exhibit 37. Do you see the area where you were in the backyard that night on the screen?
Yes.
If you wouldn't mind standing up and just pointing where you were.
patient was approximately right here. I was over here in this area here.
And if the record reflects, you pointed to the patient being to the right of the metal window well, and you were standing to the left of the window well. Is that correct?
Yeah, she was right below this window, so someplace she was right in this area.
Okay.
And I was just a little bit further over.
And when you said right below this window, you're pointing to the far right second story window?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
At some point in time while you were standing there, did you hear a loud noise?
I heard a scream.
Scream. And when you heard the scream, could you tell where it was coming from?
It sounded like it was coming from the basement.
And did you look anywhere in particular?
Yeah, I was able to look through the basement window and able to see a male person downstairs.
And when you say the basement window, are you referring to that first metal window?
Yes.
Well?
Yes.
That was in the 37. Just showing you, again on the screen here, what's been marked as Exhibit 50, this window here on the right, does that fairly represent the window that you look through and could see down into that
Yes.
basement office?
Yeah.
And was the light on in the basement office when you looked
A light was on, yes.
And what did you see when you looked in the window?
After I heard the scream, I saw a male, older male gentleman, now knowing it was Patrick Clancy, unwrapping something from a child's head.
And when you saw the male unwrapping something, can you demonstrate the motion that they were doing?
Yeah, the child was on the ground. The head was towards the window, so the head was towards the back of the house, and he was picked the child up, and he was in a circular motion, taking something off the head, around the neck.
And could you see the child's face?
Yes.
And what observations did you make of the child's face?
The head was blue.
And did you later learn that child was Dawson Clancy?
Yes.
At that point, what did you do?
Because of the severity of Miss Clancy on the ground, and now we have another patient, I put a all call in, which is a recall of Duxbury personnel, all Duxbury personnel, if they're available, to come back to the town to help out. For one, I need help on the scene, and I also need help in the town to cover the town while I'm busy at this scene. And I also requested a mutual aid ambulance to respond to the scene.
Because at that time, there was only one ambulance that was responding.
One ambulance for Miss Clancy, yes. And then I called another. Seeing the next patient, I called another ambulance in.
Okay. And what is mutual aid?
Mutual aid is it's a shared system that all the towns use. That if we get busy or busy with calls, we have to call help in from surrounding towns to give us a hand, whether it be fire related or medical related.
Does Duxbury only have one ambulance?
We have three.
But you only had one staff that night?
Yes.
Okay, so you call in for an additional ambulance. At some point in time, do you learn that there are two other patients,
yes.
Cora Clancy and Callan Clancy?
Yes.
At that point in time, do you have to do anything to call in more assistance?
The recall for Duxbury personnel was already put in, so I called two more ambulances at that point.
And the scene that night, discovering another victim, was that a chaotic scene?
It turned very chaotic very quickly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was it a situation where people would start treating a patient but then have to move on to something else and someone would take over?
Sort of. I had four, so I had myself as a shift commander. I had an EMT with me, but there's also four paramedics. So the way it ended up working, all the initial paramedics were with Miss Clancy in the beginning. And then when we found the other patients, we left a paramedic with Miss Clancy, a paramedic with Dawson, and then the two paramedics were with the two other kids in the other room.
And did someone eventually also have to be with Patrick Clancy?
Eventually, yes. Yeah, but at the time, there was nobody with them in the beginning.
I have nothing further. Thank you.
Okay. All right, counsel?
No questions. Thank you, sir.
Hi. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
May I inquire?
Yes, please, counsel.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Could you please tell the jurors your first and last name?
My first name is Loring, L-O-R-I-N-G. My last name is Nudd, N-U-D-D.
And do you have a nickname that you go by?
I do.
What's that?
Everybody knows me as Chuck.
Chuck. Do you work, sir?
I do.
What do you do for work?
So I'm a firefighter EMT with the Duxbury Fire Department. I was at that time. I am now retired.
Okay. So when did you retire?
So I retired a year ago.
A year ago?
Mm-hmm.
And so how long had you been working with Duxbury Fire before your retirement?
A little over 30 years.
30? And can you explain what your role was as a Duxbury firefighter?
So if I was an EMT, which 80% of our calls are probably that related. So I would assist a paramedic, or I would drive the ambulance, or whatever was necessary at the time. And then we were also did fire suppression, and we were all trained in that and went to the academy and all that.
Great. And can you tell us what the difference is between an EMT and a paramedic?
So a paramedic requires another year or two of training, and they're able to give meds mm-hmm. that they have according to what they need to do. They can also read the monitor that shows rhythms in the heart and what have you.
Is it fair to say that as an EMT, you're trained in basic life-saving techniques,
correct,
while a paramedic is advanced life-saving techniques?
Correct.
And so at Duxbury Fire Department, is it also fair to say that each and every firefighter has that dual role of either being an EMT, a paramedic, and a firefighter?
Yes. Some are... There might be one EMT, just a basic, where most of them are the medics or the, but we're all firefighters.
Okay. And in the town of Duxbury, does the town itself have its own ambulances?
Yes.
In addition to the fire engines?
Yes.
And there's also ladder trucks, correct?
Correct.
Now, when you were working as a Duxbury firefighter, what was the schedule? How did you work your shifts?
So we work 24-hour shifts.
And then how many days on and how many days off?
So we'd have one day on, one day off, one day on, and five off.
And a 24-hour shift, when did it start and end?
It was 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock the next morning.
So if I direct your attention to January 24th of 2023, you were still working for the Duxbury Fire Department then, correct?
Correct.
And were you on a 24-hour shift that day?
I was.
At some point during the day, were you given kind of what your assignment was for that shift?
Yes.
What was your assignment?
So that day, we all kind of float around a little bit, but we had a newer member that had made progress. He was an EMT and then made it to paramedic. So I was kind of what they called the backup guy. So I would do whatever fill-in needed to be done, and I would assist with them if necessary.
Okay. And so were you kind of assigned to the ambulance at the central station as that backup person?
I was.
And the person that you identified was kind of the newer employee. What was his name?
Paramedic Doherty.
And that would be Daniel Doherty?
Daniel Doherty, yeah.
And who was the other Duxbury firefighter that was assigned to the ambulance that
shift? It would have been paramedic Kevin Heath.
Okay. So at approximately 6 o'clock or just after 6 p.m., were you advised of a dispatch to a residence in the town of Duxbury?
Yes.
And where was that dispatch going to take you?
So it was going to take us to Summer Street.
And so you and firefighter Heath and firefighter Doherty, you all get in the ambulance?
Correct.
And do you go to 47 Summer Street?
We do.
Who was in the ambulance? Who was assigned as kind of the driver and the tech?
So at that time, because we had heard... what kind of call it, we had an idea of what call we were going to. The two medics sat up front and were able to converse while I sat in the back and again was that backup guy, more or less.
Okay. And as far as the nature of the call that you believed you were coming into, is it fair to say that the initial call had to deal with a female that had gone out the window, possibly a suicide?
Yeah, as I remember, it was a second floor fall.
Okay. At the time that you were dispatched to that location, did you know that there was any pediatric patients or children involved?
No.
Now, approximately how long did it take to get from the station, Central Station, to 47 Summer Street, if you recall?
I'm going to say 4 to 5 minutes.
And when you arrived on scene, were there already other emergency personnel on scene?
There were.
Were you the first ambulance on scene?
We were.
How about fire trucks? Were there any other fire trucks from Duxbury?
The fire truck, you could hear it in the background, but it wasn't there yet.
So is it fair to say that there were some Duxbury police cruisers that had arrived just ahead of you?
Correct.
Where did you go with the ambulance when you got to that address of 47 Summer Street?
So as we were pulling up, I could hear the two guys up front say, the cruisers are in the way of the driveway. So I said, okay, you guys take the call, meaning get out of the car and get started, get out of the truck and get started, and I'll take care of the truck.
Okay, and so when you come to the address, are you able to at least pull into the driveway at some point?
Not at that point. Because I was in the back, I switched to the driver's seat. And at that time, I saw an officer coming, and he was getting ready to move the vehicle that was in our way so that I could back in.
And so were you able to then back the vehicle, back the ambulance into the driveway?
I was.
And were there other vehicles that were not emergency personnel vehicles in the driveway?
There might have been some of their vehicles, but there might have been, but I don't really. I had enough room to put my vehicle there, and that's all that mattered.
Okay, so when you backed the ambulance in, Firefighter Heath and Firefighter Doherty, what did they do?
They had already jumped out. They had already jumped out, grabbed the gear, and taken off for the back of the house.
Once you got the ambulance secured in the driveway, what did you do?
So, assuming that they were going to need a stretcher, I started pulling a stretcher out of the back of the ambulance.
And again, you said you backed the ambulance in?
Correct.
As you were pulling the stretcher out of the back of the ambulance, did you observe somebody coming from the house?
Yes.
What did you see?
One of the police officers was carrying a child.
And so what did you do when you saw him carrying the child out of the house?
So at that point, the stretcher was almost out of the vehicle, and I said, over here. And he placed him on the stretcher.
Were you able to make observations of the child as he's being placed on the stretcher?
I was.
What did he look like?
So his face was blue. He had marks around his neck. And his body was pale.
And so once the officer, or first off, was the officer somebody you knew from Duxbury?
Correct. It was Officer Homestead.
And once the child was placed on the stretcher, what did you do after you made that initial observations of him?
So we rolled it right inside so he could start doing CPR.
Now, as an EMT, what is the first thing you generally do when you're observing a patient or assessing a patient?
So you always look for response and you go for airway.
Okay. And fair to say there's kind of what they call the ABCs.
Correct.
Can you tell the jurors what that means?
So it's airway, breathing, circulation.
Okay. And in this circumstance, were you able to observe the child breathing on his own?
No.
How about, were you able to secure an airway for him?
Not at that time. We were still doing the preliminary.
And how about circulation or pulse or cardiac activity? Were you able to determine any of that upon your initial assessment of him?
At that point, no.
Now, after you are in the back of the ambulance, do other EMTs or other paramedics come and assist you with this child?
Yes. So when the patient was getting rolled in, I also yelled out to my captain, hoping that he was going to hear me, that I needed a medic in my truck because I needed him to know that there was someone in my truck.
Okay.
And I'm assuming someone heard me, and they then directed a medic to my truck once one appeared.
Okay. And so the medic that came to the truck, was that Keith Nettie?
Yes.
And that was not the original person who went to the scene with you in the ambulance, was it?
Correct.
Okay. And what happened when you had the child in the back of the ambulance? What did you guys do to try to tend to him?
So we were doing CPR, and then he wanted to check the monitor. So we we got the monitor out.
Okay. And with the monitor, what was the monitor supposed to be looking for?
Heart rhythm.
Okay. And so do you have to kind of hook that up to the patient in order to assess whether there's any activity?
Correct.
And those monitors that you have in your equipment, do they do anything more than just check for heart rate?
The paramedic can then look and see what kind of, not just a heart rate, but a rhythm. And then
if there is not a rhythm, does that machine help you to do anything to try to restart somebody's heart?
With a rhythm, with the rhythm that they gave us, they said, we can disconnect it. Because they were concerned they needed more, they needed the monitor downstairs too, or elsewhere.
And is it fair to say that at that point you're assisting the paramedic with their assessment and running that equipment and checking the monitor?
No, I'll allow it, but let's kind of move on.
I'm sorry.
You know, that's okay.
Re-ask that.
Are you assisting the paramedic at that point to yes. treat the child in the ambulance? At some point, do you leave the ambulance?
I do.
And where do you go after you leave the ambulance?
I bring the monitor down to the basement.
Are the other paramedics and the other responders still working on the child?
Correct.
And to be basement.
Because my cap
they said they needed equipment in the basement. There were.
Were you to make observations of those children?
Not really. I mean, they weren't crying.
Okay. And fair to say they were being treated by others.
Correct.
And so once you dropped off that equipment, did you go back outside?
I did.
And what ultimately was your role at the end of this call? What were you asked to do?
I was asked to drive.
Okay. So the ambulance that responded from Duxbury, that's ambulance number one?
Correct.
Ambulance one. Did you drive that ambulance to a hospital?
Correct.
Which hospital was that?
I forget if it was a Jordan or the BI now, but it's the Plymouth Hospital.
Here in Plymouth?
Correct.
And that was with Dawson Clancy in the back, correct?
Correct.
No further questions. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you.
Tree Rington?
No questions. Enjoy your retirement.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Please.
Hi. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hi, counsel.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Could you please tell the jurors your first and last name, please?
First name is Keith. Last name is Nettie, N-E-T-T-E.
And where do you work, sir?
I work for the Duxbury Fire Department.
How long have you been with the Duxbury Fire Department?
About 17 years.
And currently working for the Duxbury Fire Department, what is your role? What do you do there?
Right now I'm a captain and shift commander.
Okay. And are you a firefighter as well as a trained paramedic?
Yes.
Okay. At Duxbury Fire, you all work 24-hour shifts?
Correct.
If I draw your attention to January 24th, 2023, do you recall working a 24-hour shift that day?
I was at home.
Okay. And so what was the shift that you were working that week, if you remember?
I believe I worked maybe 2 days prior. I don't really remember.
Okay. So you were on a day off?
Yes, correct.
And how was it that you ended up being involved in the call at 47 Summer Street on January 24th?
We were recalled from via a pager and a text message that there was an incident going on and that we were to respond.
So can you explain to us how that works?
So a tone goes off through dispatch that sends off a pager at our houses that alerts us. Then we also get text messages about the incident and then respond. Either to the station or to the scene, whichever they request.
As a Duxbury firefighter, are part of your responsibilities to respond to these recalls?
Yes.
Is it a voluntary thing?
Yes.
So if you were indisposed or unavailable when a call went out, a tone went out, would you be expected to respond to the scene?
No.
But in this case, on January 24th, just after 6 p.m., you heard that call go out, correct?
Correct.
And so then what did you do when you heard the call?
I drove to the scene in my personal truck.
When you got to the scene, what did you see?
I saw police and fire vehicles, and then I walked up the driveway and walked into the back of the ambulance.
Now, when you arrived and saw police, so that was Duxbury police?
Correct.
And the fire personnel that was on scene, who was on scene, if you remember?
I only saw two people on scene initially. That was Kevin Heath and Sergeant Homestead.
Okay. And Sergeant Homestead is a Duxbury officer?
Correct.
Now, was there a Duxbury ambulance in the driveway when you pulled up?
Yes.
And before even getting past that ambulance, were you asked to assist?
Yes.
What did you see when you came to the back of that ambulance?
I saw an officer, Sergeant Homestead, and Kevin Heath doing CPR on a child.
Had you seen how the child ended up in the ambulance, or did you come after?
I came after.
Okay. Did you then help take over with treating that child in the back of the ambulance?
Yes.
What was your initial observation of the patient? What did he look like?
Blue, white, non-responsive, not breathing, no pulse.
And this particular patient, did you come to learn him to be the child named Dawson Clancy?
Yes.
And he was approximately 3 years old?
Yes.
What kind of treatment did you and the paramedic Heath offer to Dawson in the back of the ambulance? What did you do?
We tried to start an IV. Then we also started an IO, which is kind of like an IV. Tried intubation, which is a advanced airway, medications, and continued CPR.
So an IV, that's just putting a needle into somebody and trying to pump fluids in medicine, correct?
Correct.
Tell us what an IO is.
An IO is interosseous, which is basically into the bone marrow on the lower leg.
So what do you do to try to enter an IO?
Usually we have a drill, but we had a manual one instead.
So what do you do with the manual drill to enter the IO?
You just twist, and then it goes into the bone.
And what bone do you attempt to do this in? And were you able to enter that IO into Dawson?
Yes.
What is the purpose of the IO versus the IV?
If the patient has difficult access, which pediatrics do.
And in this circumstance, what kinds of medication were you trying to deliver through the IO to Dawson?
Epinephrine.
What's the purpose of epinephrine?
Basically, kind of helps to restart the heart.
And at this point, he had no heart activity?
Correct.
You also mentioned attempts to intubate. Can you tell us what that means?
So intubation is an advanced airway where you put a tube into the airway to secure it to deliver high-flow oxygen.
Were you able to intubate Dawson?
Yes, Kevin Heath did.
And what do you do when you enter the tool to intubate?
You go into the mouth and you do a motion of pulling up to see the vocal cords so you can pass the tube through.
And what do you attach to the tube to try to increase breath?
Oxygen and BVM, which is basically you're squeezing a bag.
So BVM would stand for bag valve mask?
Correct.
While you were treating Dawson and making doing the airway, intubating him, giving him the medicines, were you able to observe anything about the area of his neck?
Yes.
What did you observe about his neck?
Dark red marks around his neck.
Now, all of this is happening while you are in the back of the ambulance with firefighter Heath, correct?
Correct.
And do you recall another Duxbury officer being present, Dan Doherty?
Yes.
Eventually, was that ambulance then sent to the local hospital?
Yes.
Which hospital did you guys go to?
BI Plymouth.
On the ride to the hospital, did you ever get a pulse for Dawson?
No.
Were you ever able to resume breathing using that method with the bag valve mask?
No.
the efforts to give him the medication, the epinephrine, did it ever do anything to start his heart?
No.
When you arrived at the Beth Israel Hospital emergency department, tell us how you transferred the care of the patient.
We wheeled a stretcher in. We went into the first room, which is trauma one and trauma two. We moved the patient over to their bed and then transferred care.
While you were at the emergency department at Beth Israel, did you see another child from that same home come in?
I did.
And what department brought them in? What fire department?
Marshfield.
Did you do anything to assist Marshfield when they came through the emergency department?
I assisted in compressions when they were getting the child out of the ambulance.
And is that something that is ongoing during when you're trying to transfer care to the emergency staff?
Yes.
Being the father of the children at the emergency department that evening when you were there?
I did.
And you came in the pediatric Clancy?
Correct. Just basically visually upset.
Did you do anything yourself to assist him when he was there?
I assisted to get a chair in case he needed to sit down.
And was that before or after the children had passed, had been declared?
I believe it was after.
Thank you.
All right. Attorney Reddington?
I have no questions. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir. Let me step down. Thank you.
More live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lindsay Clancy is on the way. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.